Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I went to see a Christmas play entitled Christmas Bells, that is B-E-L-L-E-S, as in Southern Bells, which was being put on by the Prince William Little Theater Group in Manassas. It was an enjoyable little comedy about three women, the Futrell sisters, and the cast of characters in their lives, those people who are intertwined with them, who live in a fictitious small Texas town called Faro. And the heart of the story is the attempt by one of the Futrell sisters, Honey Ray, to put on a church Christmas pageant. This is her first Christmas pageant ever for the church. The woman who did it prior to her did it for 17 years, and she let nobody forget that. But this is Honey Ray's first attempt to do a Christmas pageant, and as you can imagine, true to form, everything falls apart. A bunch of the cast get food poisoning. There's a drama between the three sisters, two of whom discover for the first time that one of the women that's helping them put this pageant on is actually their sister from another mother. The husband of one sister, who's slotted to play Santa Claus, has a bad case of kidney stones. And one self-righteous woman in the cast accidentally takes painkillers instead of aspirin for a headache that she has, and she descends into incoherency when she tries to stand up and read the Christmas story to everyone like I just did to you. Thankfully, I didn't take any painkillers. And on, the mayhem and the madness ensues. Now, the reason I bring this up is because there's a scene in the play, as the play is wrapping up, where the pastor of this small church, where this pageant is being held, gets up and he tells the audience and the cast as well what he learned in seminary, that the true meaning of Christmas is. And this is what he basically says. The story of Christmas tells us that we can all get a second chance in life. We all get the opportunity to start over and try again. Essentially, in this pastor's reckoning, Christmas is just a giant mulligan. You get the opportunity to start over where you fail. But here's the problem with that. That's not the message of Christmas presented to us in the scriptures at all. That's not even the message of Easter, which unfortunately I've heard some clergy say at times. I had a bishop say that in my prior congregation on Easter morning. Christmas is not the promise that we all get to have another shot to try to live life right. No, Christmas gives us the promise that when we had made a mess of life, God sent his Son to rescue us. When we were over our heads in our sin and our brokenness, God entered this world to do something about it for us because he loves us. The prophet Isaiah sums up our human plight in this evening's Old Testament lesson quite well. He says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." Now, Isaiah is originally writing to the southern part of the nation of Israel called Judah. Israel had had a civil war after the reign of the great King Solomon, and it had basically split in parts so that you had the northern kingdom known as Israel, sometimes called Samaria, and you had the southern kingdom called Judah, which was just the tribe of Judah and the small tribe of Benjamin. And here, Isaiah is writing to this nation of Judah, this distinct group in the south, who are on the cusp of getting overtaken by a world superpower, the Babylonian Empire. Judah was a people that were walking in darkness. Their country was morally bankrupt. They stopped trusting in God. And for all of that, God was going to give them over into the hands of the Babylonians, who would cart them off into exile in the land of Babylon, removing them from their homeland, removing them from their temple, removing them from their life. Now, you talk about darkness. Imagine losing your home, your nation, your place of worship, and probably some of your loved ones who died in the siege, in all in one fell swoop, having everything taken away from you all at once. That's what Judah was faced with. That's what was coming for the nation of Judah, and that's darkness. Now, you and I don't face those same problems today, but I do think it's fair to say that we live in our own kind of darkness. We live in a time that is characterized by deep divisions in our national life, the likes of which most of us in our own lifetimes have never seen before, and perhaps our country has never seen before. We live in a time where animosity and discord and violence seem to be on the rise and seem to be in our face all the time. We live in a time where self-centeredness and selfishness are increasingly accepted as normal and maybe even right and good in some quarters. The value of individualism has overtaken the sense of importance of community in our world today. And on top of this, there are the daily struggles of jobs and making ends meet and raising families in an increasingly changing and technological world. And I haven't even mentioned the reality of sin and death that we all live with. We ourselves and our world are broken and hurting. And maybe the celebration of Christmas brings that up all the more for some of you. I know sometimes Christmas can be a very hard time because of the brokenness that we experience in life. We are a people who live in a land of deep darkness. That's our starting point for hearing and understanding the message of Christmas. We aren't a people who just have a couple of flaws and need another chance to try again. That's way too high of a view of human nature. That's not the situation. We're a people who are caught up under powers that are greater than ourselves, and we desperately need to be rescued. We need to be rescued from our own sin, our own tendency toward rebellion against God, because that's what sin is. It's rebellion against God, not letting God be God in our lives. We need to be rescued from the power of death, which hovers around us and which comes for all of us. You know, the things around us in this world die all the time, and we see death all the time, and we know that each one of us is going to die one day. We need to be rescued from the power of evil, which has a strong and a real presence in our world. I don't think that anybody can look at our world with honest, open eyes without recognizing that evil is real, and that we see evil at play in the world around us. And we need to be rescued in a very real way from ourselves, from our own self-centeredness and our own selfishness, our own tendency to put me above all other people. You know, George Harrison of the Beatles put it very well when he sang, "I, me, mine, I, me, mine, I, me, mine." This is how the world operates. That's why God comes to us through the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. He comes to rescue us. God the Son comes down and is born of the Virgin Mary in a real time in history. We heard tonight that it happened during the reign of Caesar Augustus, when Quirinius was the governor of Syria and a census was taking place. And he comes to us in a real place, in Bethlehem, the city of David. God comes down, and God takes on human flesh so that he might be one of us. Many of you probably remember the old Joan Osborne song from the 1990s, "What If God Was One of Us?" That was the question Joan Osborne put forward in that song. Well, he was. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God enfleshed. And he came down to us, and he came down for us in a divine rescue mission. That's why the angels appear to the shepherds and tell them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The message of Christmas is not a message of something to be afraid of. It's not a message of, you have all royally screwed up, And God is coming like Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator to get all you turkeys. So you better beware. That's not the message of Christmas. No, the message is this. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why? Because God's arrival in the birth of Jesus is good news for you. It's good news for us. It's good news for the world. You see, God loves this world, and God loves us human beings, as broken and sinful as we are. God loves us. And God doesn't want us mired in our sins and dying under the power of death. God doesn't want us held captive by the forces of evil. God doesn't want us to be in the darkness. God wants us to be with Him in the light. And so His Son, who is the light of the world, the light that breaks into the darkness, comes as our Savior. He comes to live as one of us, to die to the death to sin that you and I all rightfully deserve to die, condemned under the law as sinful people, and to rise from the dead, to pronounce us forgiven, and to tell us that we have new life in Him, to tell us that through baptism and faith, we can be born anew as the people of God, the people that belong to God. You see, Christmas is incomplete without Good Friday and Easter. You need the whole story. So that's what Christmas is about. The reason that Jesus Christ is born for us on Christmas Day is to live as one of us, to die for us, and to rise for us so that He might break the hold that darkness has over us. What that means is that in Christ, sin has no more grip on you. In Christ, you are forgiven for all your failures. God no longer remembers them. And what that means is that in Christ, death ultimately has no claim on you as well. In Christ, there is only life and peace and joy to be had because in Him, we are put right with God. That's why, as the angels say, there is nothing to be afraid of. Do not be afraid. That is the message of the angels. So we can join with the choir of angels tonight, and we can sing with them, as we've already done, no doubt, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." We can sing it because that's you, my friends. You are the people. You, sitting here tonight, are the people whom God favors. And God pronounces peace to you tonight. Jesus was born for you, for each and every one of you. And so do not be afraid, but rejoice and give praise to God that your Savior has come into this world for you. And what better gift is there than that? Amen.